Sorry about that. Welcome to this meeting of the Morden District Council. And the first item on the agenda is apologies for absence. I'm sorry, Chairman's notices, which are shown on this page, on page four. It relates to the sound recording of the meeting, what to do in the event of a fire, advice about health and safety with the different levels of flooring in the chamber, and advice that the meeting is being monitored by a closed circuit television. Second item on the agenda is apologies for absence. Chief Executive? Any other apologies from the floor? Thank you. Right. Right, item three, disclosure of interest. I have to read this out. To disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda, having regard to paragraphs 6 to 10 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. And members are reminded that they are also required to disclose any such interests as soon as they become aware, should the need arise throughout the meeting. Now, Councillor Savage, I hope this isn't because you've got solar panels on the roof of your house. Or you're going to do that one as well?
My solar panels are non-radioactive, so are immaterial.
Okay, right. Tell us.
I declare a non-pecuniary interest as I'm a Morden Town Councillor and a member of the local LCLC.
Okay. Any others? Councillor Mrs. Channer?
Thank you, Chairman. My normal one, I'm not non-pecuniary in terms of an Essex County Councillor. I believe I also sit, but I haven't met for some while, the Bradbell Party Working Group this council set up. I do sit on the Bradwell Liaison Group from this council, and I'm a member of the JMBB, which is Joint Member Bradwell Board, combined of Morden District Council and Essex, all non-pecuniary.
Councillor Eddett.
Thank you, Chairman.
Can you stand please, Councillor
Eddett? A non-pecuniary interest that I'm a member of LCLC. Okay.
Shrimpton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I declare a non-pecuniary interest on the same grounds as Councillor Savage, that I'm a member of Morden Town Council and I'm on the LCLC?
Okay. Councillor Beale.
Yes, I'd like to report that I'm a member of the LCLC. Can I point out, sorry I'm a bit late, sir, but Councillor Pratt asked for his apologies.
No, that'll be recorded, thank you. Councillor Durham.
Thank you, Chairman. I have a non-pecuniary interest on the basis that I'm a member of Essex County Council and I also sit on the JMBB.
Councillor Fluker.
Thank you, Chairman. In the interest of openness and transparency, I sit on the JMBB. But Chairman, I too belong to the LCLC, Chairman, but the LCLC is actually Bradwell A and this application is dealing with Bradwell B, so I certainly won't be mentioning that. Thank you.
Thank you, and just for members' information, I was on a variety of these committees relating to Bradwell Power Station, but since being Chairman, as far as I know, I'm not on any of them, but I'm still getting the papers for some of them. Right. Anybody else? No. Okay. Right. Well, then item number six is to consider a planning application on land east of Bradwell Power Station and Downhall Beach, Bradwell on Sea. And before we ask for the officer's presentation, there is a member's update, which you should all have, which has got some additional lists of objectors and also comments and some slight changes to the conditions. But I'm sure the officer will explain those. And can I also say I'm sorry about my voice? Right, who's starting?
Thank you, Chairman. So, application 17011128 FUL proposes to carry out preliminary ground investigations sorry for that. Yeah. Preliminary bond investigations on the land to the east of Blackwell Power Station, south of Blackwater Estuary, west of the Blackwell Bird Observatory, and north. Oops. Okay, and north of East Hall Farm, in an area measuring approximately 217 hectares. The investigations are to understand the site and surrounding area in more detail and also assist the design of a potential new nuclear power station. The investigations would be temporary in nature and would be carried out in two phases, the main campaign and the potential additional ground investigations, which is the one shown here in purple. The main campaign would involve a number of different types of intrusive ground investigations, not greater than 140, including rotary drilled boreholes, cable percussion boreholes, seismic cone penetration testing, depth sampling holes, and trial and observation pit excavations. Similar ground investigations, but less in number, would take place at the potential additional ground investigation phase. The three following photographs show a typical rotary drill rig, a typical cable percussion borehole, and a typical arrangement of a seismic monitoring equipment. Other associated works include the formation of a site compound to accommodate structures to be used for welfare and storage purposes. The structures would not exceed 10 metres in height, and they will be removed after the completion of the development. Two examples of porta cabins that are likely to be installed in the site compound are shown here. The compound area would also include waste and recycling facilities and car parking areas approximately for 25 vehicles and 5 private light goods, good vehicles. An existing single-story storage building to the south of the site would be used as a cold storage area to store soil cores for a period of 5 years. No changes to the existing building are proposed. The building is shown up there. The site would be accessed via an unnamed road leading to Blackwell Power Station at the War Memorial. No new roads are proposed to be formed to support the operations. This is the access to the site. These are some photographs of the site, the power station, the existing one, the cold storage area. This is the site that is going to be used for the site compound. Working hours are proposed to be between 7 and 8 hours Monday to Friday, and alternative weekends. Concerns were raised initially from environmental health team in relation to the impact of the proposed works to the neighbouring residential occupiers. These concerns were addressed following the submission of a noise appraisal addendum, which demonstrated that the development would not exceed the lower noise threshold at any time. Other matters that raised during the process of the application were in relation to the impact of the development in visual and landscape terms. Following the submission of a preliminary landscape and visual assessment, it was found that the impact of the development, by reason of its temporary and localised nature, would not significantly harm the landscape or the area more widely. In relation to the nature conservation designations and protected species, initial concerns were raised by the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds and the Essex Wildlife Trust, which addressed following the clarifications from the applicant and also the addition of recommended conditions 17 to 20, including within the agenda. Together with the above-mentioned matters, the application was assessed against all material planning considerations, including the principle of development, the impact of the development on potential archaeological assets, its impact on the environment, taking into consideration the existing and potentially generated contaminants, the impact on the highway network, and also issues related to the fact that the site is located within flood zone 2 and 3 and it was found to be acceptable.
A planning application must be determined on what is before the decision maker and on its own merits. Furthermore, any decision must be based on policies contained within the development plan and any other material considerations that are relevant to that application. The Council's received a number of consultation responses that have raised concerns with the use of the site as a nuclear power station or the principle of providing such a facility on this site. As has already been explained, the application before members tonight relates to engineering works only. It does not relate to the construction or the use of the site as a nuclear power plant. Whilst the information gathered through the works proposed as part of this application may eventually influence a formal submission for a nuclear power plant in the future, this application does not relate to any such development or application. Who the applicant is, or personal opinions about provision of a nuclear power plant on the site should not be a material consideration of any weight, of demonstrable weight, when determining this application. Furthermore, concerns that have been raised against issues that are controlled through other legislation should also not be a material consideration of any demonstrable weight when considering the merits and potential harm of this application.
Thank you. It is noted that since the submission of the members' update, four additional letters have been received by the local planning authority. No new material considerations are raised in those letters, with the exception of a matter relating to the submission of a Phase 2 contaminated land assessment. It is noted that in order to carry out a Phase 2 contaminated land assessment, ground investigations are required. Therefore, the findings of the proposed works will inform the Phase 2 assessment, which is required by Condition 15. On the basis of all that it was raised before and subject to conditions included within the agenda on pages 33 to 38 and those amended in the members' update, officers recommend approval of the ground investigations. Thank you.
Chairman, could I ask
you... I'm sorry, you cannot speak.
I'm sorry, you cannot speak. I'm sorry too, because I don't think you've had all the information.
I am sorry, you cannot speak.
The application put to you have not been looked at.
Right. I will clear the room, and that will mean everybody will go out.
Okay, but I'm just saying you have not...
Well, will you please not interrupt the proceedings? Right. Now, is there any further disturbance? I will clear the whole of the public gallery. Excuse me.
Clear it.
I think we will clear it, honestly, and everyone will go out. Now, then, just please behave and abide by the rules of this council. Otherwise, we cannot proceed. Thank you. Right. Now, there are two speakers, and I hope they and the members, when they come to speak, will be mindful of the words of Mr. Lee, that we are dealing with a soil survey. We are not dealing with the permission to build a nuclear power station. And when that permission is given, it won't be given by this authority. So can we have the first speaker, who is an objector, Judy Lee of the Malden Society. And we need to clock up, please. Can you just wait a moment, please? Just get the clock up. Okay, right. No, you start when the 2 minutes starts. Now, I'm just about to explain it. You have 2 minutes, and the clock will start as you begin to speak. And please turn your microphone on. You know the drill. Thank you very much.
Tonight, you don't have to debate whether energy technology is moving so fast a larger reactor will be a dinosaur before it's built, nor ask whether 750 deliveries a day might clog up local roads, nor where thousands of temporary workers will really come from, nor even the negative impact on tourism and other longer-term employment for the district. Not at all. I agree that tonight's application has to be treated entirely on its own merits, because that way it gets thrown out, or should be. It's outside the development boundary, and although it's underplayed in the report before you, the background documents prove the land is potentially vulnerable to metres-deep flooding. Simple. Job done. Anyone who has ever visited the Denji know that you would not contemplate building here on land lower even than the adjoining plot. You don't need boreholes and rigs to tell you the site is unsuitable. Further investigation is a waste of money, money which ultimately the public pay for. So if other considerations are involved tonight, other than what's on the table, these need to be openly stated and debated publicly, not here, where a single person gets just 2 minutes of time and letters conveniently get lost. I challenge this council, before it goes any further down this nuclear route, to openly publicly debate the principles and likely consequences with those like Andy Blowers, whose specialist knowledge is recognised in government circles, and also to invite him or his expert colleagues to join you in a training project so that you know what you're really in for and what viable alternatives exist. Only then can you look your constituents in the eye on this, especially those who are frankly younger than you and me, or who do care about what environment they leave for their children and grandchildren. Local communities frankly cannot believe this district council is even contemplating sacrificing the head of the Denji and its approaches and surrounding waters solely in order to dance to the tune of a national government so desperate to sell our national infrastructure and ultimately our national security that they gave us up as a last-minute sweetener to the Chinese rather than admit hiddenly isn't viable financially. So please save yourself future embarrassment by refusing this application.
Thank you very much. Now we have the applicant, Dr. Stephen Mannings, please. You have 2 minutes, Mr. Mannings, from when you start speaking.
Good evening, councillors. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is Dr. Stephen Mannings, and I'm Brad Wellbeing's Planning and Consents Manager. The project is a joint venture between long-term partners China General Nuclear Power Corporation and EDF Energy. The planning application that is before you today is to carry out preliminary ground investigations of the proposed Bradwell B site to confirm its geology. The proposal site near Bradwell-on-Sea was assessed by government as being potentially suitable for new nuclear in 2009. And earlier this month, Energy Minister Richard Harrington reaffirmed government commitment to new nuclear as part of its industrial strategy. The proposed ground investigations would involve borehole drilling. A small number of trial pits and observation trenches are also planned. They would take up to a year to finish. Soil samples would be kept in an existing building. What is before you today is a standalone planning application for carrying out these initial site investigations that should be determined on its own merits. The outputs of the proposed investigations would help inform the design of Bradwell B. For clarity, Bradwell B will need a raft of different consents and permissions before construction work could start, and this process would take between 5 and 7 years to complete. We are currently at the start of this process. We will undertake full public consultation on our proposals for Bradwell B ahead of any of seeking permission to build it, and we look forward to working with your officers to develop an agreed consultation strategy. Turning back to the application, I hope it is clear from your officer's report that we have carefully considered what environmental impacts we could have. Working with your officers and other stakeholders, we've agreed measures to minimise and, where appropriate, mitigate potential adverse effects, which, as you've heard, would be secured through conditions.
Thank you very much. Dr. Mannings. Yeah, just let him sit down. Councillor Durham.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, this is a very straightforward planning application in its own right. We've all heard from Mr. Lee that this planning application is preempting anything that goes further. Whatever anybody's individual attitudes are to nuclear power in general, it's totally irrelevant to this particular application. And it's simply surveys, as we've seen, it's ground borings, seismic surveys. And of course, if the results of the surveys find the site not to be suitable, the project won't go ahead, it won't go any further. And that's the whole point of this exercise. Nothing can continue until the developer finds out whether the site is physically suitable. So therefore, Chairman, there are actually no material planning reasons that I can see, having read these papers, that we can legitimately refuse this. And I'm happy to propose that we follow the officer's recommendation and approve.
Is there a seconder? Thank you. Any other speakers wish to speak? Councillor Mrs. Thompson.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to point out, and I know we might all risk labouring the point, but as you've already said, this authority will not be determining any future application for a new power station. And I think, members, we should note, if we choose not to follow planning policy, both national and local, and planning law, the planning inspectorate most certainly will. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chair.
Good point. Yeah. Any other speaker? Anyone else wish to speak? Yes, Mrs. Banford.
Chairman, just a couple of points, really, to clarify some of the conditions. In the report at 3129, it says, notwithstanding, this is about the hours of work, it said, notwithstanding this, it is stated that borehole drilling and trial pitting would be restricted to daylight hours. Now, when we come to the conditions, it doesn't actually say anything about daylight hours, so I wondered if we needed to make that clear in the conditions. The other point was about this temporary structure, which the officers did show us on the diagram. But although we're saying it will be no more than 10 metres high, we're not saying how large it can be. So, and I don't know whether that's within the conditions at all. It doesn't say anything in the conditions. It just says it won't be any higher than 10 metres, but it doesn't say how large it can be width-wise. So that was just a couple of points I just wanted clarifying on the conditions. Thank you.
Mr. Lee?
Thank you, Chairman. Obviously, yeah, two questions. As members are aware, conditions need to meet a number of tests to be able to be imposed. A condition that required hours to work in daylight only would not be precise, which is one of the six tests in legislation. You know, what one person may consider to be daylight, someone else may not, and therefore would be imprecise and actually wouldn't be something that we could successfully enforce. There are a number of conditions, obviously, in relation to the works. There is condition 10, obviously, which is a large condition, obviously, which relates to the whole period from 7 till 10. I think the conditions in relation to the hours of work are probably more important in relation to that, and about noise, which is obviously further on. One of the reasons that that would be restricted to daylight hours is actually just due to the physical feasibility of actually undertaking the work and the safety. But with all conditions, we have to be able to demonstrate harm. And that goes back to the noise. And the condition in relation to noise and restricting the levels of noise at certain hours, I think actually would protect the amenity of neighbouring public rather than a condition that was potentially not enforceable because it isn't precise. In relation to the compound, there is a plan there that does show these structures, so they would be the floor area of what they would cover, and that would be dealt with through that. And obviously there is a condition that says it's according to the approved plan, so it would be covered that way.
Yes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to come back on the lighting, because you're talking about noise and the conditions covering that. But if we're saying we're allowing them to work till 8 o'clock at night, and it's a 16-month period, then it's going to be dark. So, you know, are there going to be lights? You're saying in the conditions, I think, something about infrared lighting. I'm just concerned about, you know, neighbours being, or opposite, because Tollesbury is opposite and the various places opposite would see the lighting.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chairman. There is a condition that restricts lighting to basically the compound and the store. Otherwise, there is restriction stating that it's not allowed. So, and that is condition 12. So any nighttime work isn't feasible because there is no lighting allowed. So obviously that would be required under a separate application if that was to be required.
Chairman. Okay. Mrs. Channer.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, that's what Councillor Banthas has just said led me to ask a question, actually. Regarding the boundary and the structures, we're talking about 2.2, I believe, metres high, and we're talking about nothing higher than, if I read it right, is it 10 metres in height? and such, and steel structures, I couldn't see it within the conditions, but I know in the past we've done it for individuals, wanting to put up some of the mobile masts and other such structures within the rural areas. Is there going to be a colour associated with that so it might fit into the landscape? I just asked that question because we have certainly considered it in the past as an authority. So I'd just like to know what is proposed in terms of finish, because I wasn't quite clear from the report.
It's just a piling rig, isn't it, Mr. Lee? It's the piling rig, isn't it?
So, Chairman, in relation to the storage, obviously, it was considered... by officers that, you know, there would be very limited views of it, and there wasn't considered necessary to impose a condition such as that. If members wish to impose one, that is in their gift. But I'll leave that to members.
Mr. Chandler, were you talking about the piling rigs themselves?
No, not at all, Chair. I was talking about the site. I've read the report, and it tells me there's a 43,505 square metres in size, and we'd be bounded by approximately 2.2-metre-high fence.
Thank you, Chairman. So, if you want me to show you on the map, this is the whole area but the side compound is going to take place. The area where the structures will be is restricted to this area. I understand this is not a very clear map. You can't really read what it says here. This is the parking area. This is the storage area of the... This is the area where the structures they're going to be placed. The whole side compound is the square metres that I referred to the report. We referred to the report.
Sorry, Councillor Chandler, can you...
Well, that was my question, Chairman. I understand that's the compound, and that's what it's saying. So my question was, has any thought been given to colour it? But it's a 43,505 square metre compound, 2.2-metre-high fence. I've had it pointed out, but it says the site... Well, I've read paragraph 3.1.2.5 is that would include structures to be used in association with works, including sanitation, restroom, da-di-da-di-da-da, 25 cars... And the existing vegetarian walls, that would have the temporary structures not exceeding 10 metres high. Has any thought been given to the 2.2-metre-high fence that's forming part of the compound of 43,000? Unless I'm incorrect in how I've read the report, I just want clarification.
I think Mr. Lee answered that they didn't think it was sufficiently visible to warrant it. Did you not?
Yeah, as I said, members, if you wish to impose a condition requiring details to be agreed or restricted, that can be, but as our recommendation, we did consider it and didn't think it was necessary in this instance.
What colour is it?
What colour is it, please?
Thank you, Chairman. As I said, the site's here, it's in quite remote from residential, and there is no, we don't consider what colour it would be an issue. It wouldn't have such a limited impact on the character of the area that it's not a consideration.
Any other member? Councillor Beale, sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I'm worried about the lack of information that we have here on the front page of an item where it says the applicant, Mr. Dr. Stephen Mannings, he says he's Bradblebee Consents Manager. What company is that?
Bradblebee.
Is it a registered company?
Yes.
I see, and they're based where?
London.
Thank you.
Councillor Dewick.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. As ward member, I mean, I really feel we're getting all buried in all sorts of things here that really aren't relevant to what to this. The application is to drill a few holes, drill a lot of holes in the ground,
yeah,
and see what's down the holes. That's all we're worried about. Whether there's a fence that's 2.2 metres high, what colour it is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just, you know, this is not that many years ago that a soil survey carried out at Bradwell showed it was not the place for a high-level radioactive waste store. Let's just get it done. Then we know what the answer is. If anybody wants to argue about it after that, that's fine. Now is not the time. It's just a test area. Let's deal with that, and that's all it is. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Savage, you seconded. Do you wish to speak?
Well, I'd only say that since the colour of this fence is in dispute, why won't we do it just as bright galvanised and get on with it? Oh, if it's wood, then I suggest it'll be brown.
Right, Councillor Deville, you want to come back very quickly, please.
Before we have the decision made, etc., and the vote taken, I wonder whether or not the vote could be recorded. I don't know if anybody else support that.
I'll second that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, is everyone happy with the recorded vote?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, right, we have a... You'll need a piece of paper. Right, we have a proposal that the officer's recommendation for this application be accepted, standing in the name of Councillor Durham and seconded by Councillor Savage. All those in favour, please show clearly. And then...
I'm going to do this slowly because Matt's writing it down. So, Councillor Savage, Councillor Mrs. Bamford, Councillor Thompson, Councillor Archer, Councillor Ms. White. Sorry, Councillor Mrs. Elliott, I apologise for that. You blended in to the background. Councillor Mrs. Elliott, Councillor Dewick, Councillor Keyes, Councillor Hurd. Councillor Channer, Mrs. Channer, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Shrimpton, Councillor Helm, Councillor Beale, the Leader of the Council, Councillor Durham, and Councillor Fleetwood.
And one abstention.
One abstention being me. Chairman.
Right, the proposal is carried and consent is granted. Thank you for your attendance, members.